Jeremiah chapter 36. That's where we're going to begin this morning in just a few moments. Jeremiah 36. What's the most important thing we need today? I guess you could answer that in many different ways. But I believe that I've got the best answer to that. The most important thing we need is a reverence and a respect for the Word of God. Because if we had a reverence and respect for the Word of God, we would do it. We find as we study the Scriptures that God's Word is His power to salvation, Romans 1:16. We also find that it's in His Word, in the book of Peter, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge. We find that as was spoken to the elders of Ephesus, that the Word is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. I really believe the most important thing we need is the reverence and respect for the Word of God. You've heard someone say at times past, people hear what they want to hear, and people do what they want to do. And I think that's true today as it was in all generations. So this morning, for a short period of time, I've asked the question, are you and I receptive to the Word of God? Receptive to the Word of God. Now, let's look at this before we go into discussing this. Are we receptive to the teachings of God? Listen, even if it requires correction in our lives. What I find out with many religious people, they're receptive when we talk about Jesus. They're receptive when it talks about what Jesus has done for us. They're receptive when it talks about His promises. But oh, when it starts talking about what we need to do, how we need to live, then that all changes now, doesn't it? You see, we need to understand that we need to reflect on the various warnings on people on many instances who were receptive just when it appealed to them, and they rejected it when it didn't appeal to them. And I think that's our problem today. We're a very religious nation. You have churches all over the place in this state, and when I was in Illinois, there's churches everywhere. Just because there's churches everywhere does not necessarily mean that they are receptive to the will of God, including the churches of Christ. Are we receptive to the will of God if it causes us to have to make some changes? Now, before we solve that little dilemma, what we're going to do in most of the lesson this morning is show you biblical examples, biblical instructions, where they were not receptive. And let's be careful that we don't fall into that category. So I'm glad you're here this morning as we talk about a very important topic, and that is, are we receptive to the will of God? And that takes us to Jeremiah. You should be there. I mentioned you go to Jeremiah chapter 36 to begin with. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 36, this is just prior to the Babylonian captivity. And now you have King Jehoiakim. And what we have in chapter 36, actually, it's good to read the whole chapter. We don't have time to do that. But in verses 1 through 3, even though God's people, Judah, were just doing terrible things, going to send another message to God's people. And so in verse 2, it says, take a scroll of a book, Jeremiah 36, 2, and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel, against Judah, and against all nations from the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah, even to this day. Look, now here's his purpose. Here's his purpose for this scroll, verse 3. That it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the adversities which I purpose to bring upon them, that everyone may turn from his evil way, and I may forgive them their iniquity and their sin. He's sending this scroll so that perhaps this last scroll he sends, that they may turn from their iniquity. And for a multitude of the people, they were concerned about this. However, if you look in chapter 36 in verses 23 through 25. Like I said, it's good to read the whole chapter, but we don't have time. The letter comes to the king, Jehoiakim. Now, what we find what Jehoiakim does in verse 23, as a portion of the scroll is being read, he cuts it out of the scroll and burns it, throws it in the fire. And we find in verse 25, he wouldn't listen. So what he effectually did in Jeremiah 36, 23 through 25, is the scroll that was given by God to warn them, maybe they'll change, he disposed of it in the fire. I guess he thought if it was out of sight, out of mind, it's not going to happen, which it did happen, by the way. I'm not suggesting that you'll take a knife and cut out portions of your Bible. But let me ask you this. Are there people who ignore portions of their Bible? Are there people who just take those things that they like and ignore the rest? My question to that is, what's the difference? Now, if you look back further down in Jeremiah 36, you're going to not read verses 29 through 32. God had no problem. He had another scroll written. Another scroll written. And by the way, what you threw away, it's still going to come to pass. Again, would you agree? Now, this is the king of Judah, Jehoiakim. What was his attitude towards the word of God when it was there to correct him? He wanted nothing to do with it, right? That's the problem. He was not receptive to the word of God. The word of God can change lives and does change lives. And the power is in the word of God. Now, if it has no power in your life, it's not that God doesn't want to have power in your life. It's because you have chosen not to do anything with it. We need to understand that. Here's God's power for us today. God gives us freedom of choice. We can choose to respond and obey and apply, or we can choose, God forbid, to be like Jehoiakim and just throw it away, burn it up, eliminate it. But let's go to some other warnings concerning not being receptive to God's teachings. We go back to the prophet Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 5 and verses 20 and 21 and see another reason why people are not receptive to the will of God. Could you imagine what this country would be like if the bulk of this country would obey God's will? Would it be a good place to live? Absolutely. But that hasn't happened. We're a religious country, but we're only receptive to the things we want to hear and not receptive to the complete will of God. We're only willing to give up what we want to give up and not the other things. And that's the problem. We don't get to pick and choose. You're either going to be fully receptive or you're not. Now in Isaiah, here's another case where they were not receptive. In verse 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Look at verse 21. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Sound like 2023? Now, that wasn't written for 2023, but does it apply to 2023? Have we changed that which is bad and called it good? And have we changed that which is good and called it bad? And have we not even done it under the name of religion and done those things? Because we're wise in our own eyes, and we're not willing to simply submit. You see the problem there? We're not talking about atheists here. We're talking about people who were supposedly following God, yet they were not receptive to what God had given to them. Let's go to another, Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. Are we receptive? Before you just flat out say yes, let's look at some of these examples and make sure that we don't fall into these categories. Now, by the way, if you're not receptive to the word of God, it's going to have no power in your life. But understand this, you still will be held accountable by the word of God. As we took in Isaiah 65 and verse 2, I have stretched, and he's talking about his people, I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, listen, according to their own, what, thoughts. Talking about the people back then. Talking about God's people back then. Same thing today about religious people. They walk in their own thoughts. They use the Bible sporadically just to find verses that they want to apply to themselves and disregard the rest. Is that not happening today? Some of my brethren do the same thing. They take a few things, they take baptism, and then they disregard the rest. No, we got to be receptive to everything, not just some of those things. Let's go to another prophet, Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 7. And Jeremiah chapter 7, again, talking to God's people back then. We got to be careful. Are we receptive? And verses 23 and 24. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it might be well with you. That sounds good, doesn't it? Verse 23. Look at verse 24. Yet they did not obey or incline the ears, but followed the counsels and dictates of the evil hearts and went backwards and not forwards. Talking about God's people. Did they obey? No, they didn't obey. They went their own way. The dictates of their own heart. Do what's good for you instead of simply following God's word. We stay in the same chapter. Go down to verse 28. So you shall say to them, this is so sad, you shall say to them, this is a nation that does not obey the voice of the Lord their God, nor receive correction. That last part's important. They don't want to receive correction. Truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth. Remember John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. This says truth has perished. Truth has perished because they want nothing to do with it. They want to do things their way. Let's go to another illustration in the Old Testament before we move forward. Let's go to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. Now, as we go to these Old Testament illustrations, let's be aware that can happen to you and I. Am I receptive to the will of God? Especially when there's something in the will of God that shows me I need to make changes. Am I receptive to that change, or do I just disregard that? In Hosea chapter 4, we have recorded for us in verse 6. Notice who he's talking to here in verse 6. My people. He's talking to his people. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Wow. Lack of knowledge. They talk the good game, but they don't live the life. You ever see people like that? Talk the good game, but don't live the life. You want to wear the name Christian? Then know what God's will has to say. Not because some preacher told you, but that's what God wants of you. In fact, it's going to help you live a better life. It's going to help for you to have peace and strength. But what happened back here, they didn't do that. They're not receptive. They're only receptive to what they want to hear and not necessarily what's good for them. But let's move on. We've got warnings in Psalms of those not receptive to the will of God. Let's go to Psalms 10. In Psalms 10. And I say that because tonight we're going to talk about reaching others. But here's one of the problems we're receiving. And that is people simply aren't receptive. And we've got to find those who are receptive. If someone's not receptive, you can beat them with a 2x4 and it's not going to do any good. It's not going to do any good till they're receptive. So the first thing is we need to be receptive so that we can make that corrections. In Psalm 10, we have recorded for us here in verse 4 this statement. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. You think there's people in Lakeland today that God is in none of their thoughts? Do you think there's some neighbors around you that God is not in any of their thoughts? That they don't appreciate that when that sun came up, it came up by the grace of God? That they don't appreciate that God has chosen to give us another day of life? That they don't appreciate that the end of time could have come, but it didn't, because God is patient with us? that they don't think of none of those things. Basically, they think they've gotten everything by themselves, don't they? They think, look at what I have accomplished. And be it known, you or I accomplished nothing except by the grace of God. We're here to get to accomplish it. They're not receptive to God and His truth. But let's go to another psalm. In Psalms 119. That's why I think this is the greatest problem we have. People are not receptive to the importance of the truth. In Psalms 119, 155, we have this recorded for us here. It states this, salvation is far from the wicked. Why? For they do not seek your statutes. I don't know where I read it, but it was kind of this phrase, what's important now? You know, that's an interesting question because that can have a variety of answers based upon your age, based upon what you're doing. But I'll tell you what, if you had just gone to the doctor this coming Monday, and he says, you've got the final stages of cancer, my question to you, what's important now? It's not important who's going to win the next football game. It's not important. You know what's important now? What's your relationship with God? Right? And that should be important all the time. But what we find here in Psalms 119, 155, it's far from the wicked. Salvation is far from the wicked because they don't seek God's statutes. How sad that is. I guess people just think God's going to carte blanche, have everybody to have heaven. And that is the dumbest idea you can fill in your mind. Why do we think everyone's going to have heaven? Everyone has access to heaven. Everyone has access to heaven. But not everyone's going to have heaven. What do you think God's going to do with a society of people who ignore His Son who died for them? Was that just a game He played? Let me send my Son. Let them spit on Him. Let them beat Him. Let them crucify Him. And if you don't want to do what He says, that's all right. In the end, you're going to get to heaven also. How dumb is that, people? Really, think about that. What makes us think that God is pleased with us when we're not receptive to the teachings of Christ, we're not receptive to the teachings of the Old Testament, and we think, and we're going to put our stubby little finger and demand God to give us eternal life? You get the point? It's so sad that people are not receptive. Well, let's go to another warning. Let's go to some warnings in Proverbs. How's your attitude towards the Word of God? I don't care if you like my style of preaching, but when we go to those passages, how is your attitude towards those passages? Let's illustrate it this way. Go to Proverbs chapter 14. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 11. Now, of course, Proverbs always gives a contrast. But in Proverbs 14, verse 11, listen to what it states as we, 14:14, what it states. The backslider in heart will be filled in his own ways. Think about this. Think about someone who's left the cause of Christ. Someone who has repented and been baptized and been faithful, and they fall away. They quit. The backslider in his heart. What it says, the backslider in his heart will be filled in his own ways. Because if he wasn't filled in his own ways, if he still was receptive to the will of God, what would he do? He'd come back and do that which is right. But you see, the backslider in his heart is filled in his own ways. I don't know what those ways might be. Maybe he or she thinks they've got a long time. Well, that's like playing Russian roulette with your soul. Maybe they think, well, you know what? I've done enough. That's a silly concept. Though we're saved by the blood of Christ, that we need to be faithful to Him. I don't know what would be involved. But you take the backslider in heart. Someone who turns away from the Lord, someone who had the truth, someone who stood for the truth, someone who turns away from the truth, they're filled with their own concepts. Because if they stayed with the truth, they'd have to come back. Their heart would demand it, but they've gone away from the truth. They're filled with their own ways. They're not receptive to the will of God. And as long as they stay like that, they'll remain a backslider. And by the way, that can happen to you, and that can happen to me. Let's go to another illustration. Proverbs 26 and verse 12. What we need is people have a reverence and respect to the will of God. When God said it, we're going to do it. Verse 12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? I like what it says here. There is more hope for a fool than for him. He's placed below the fool. We are a smart society, getting smarter all the time, coming now with artificial intelligence. God forbid, 50 years down the road, you might just push a button, artificial intelligence will give you the lesson. I hope not, but maybe. But you know what really stands out? It's better be God's word. Better be God's word. God's intelligence. But we become so smart in our own eyes. And when we think we're so smart in our own eyes, we just have touched the hem of the garment. Medically speaking, we've come a long way. But medically speaking, there's a lot we still don't know. Right? You see, when we're wise in our own eyes and we think we're the pinnacle, we don't need God, we're a fool. It's surprising to me. I don't know if you like various programs, but I like watching Jeopardy. When I get a chance, I like to watch Jeopardy. And I am amazed what people know on those programs. But I am astounded what they don't know when it comes to the Bible. I mean, these people know everything about everything except the Bible. And oftentimes, the question in Jeopardy concerning the Bible, a fourth grader could answer them. A seventh grader who went to Bible classes could answer them. And this person who knows history and knows politics and knows entertainment, and boy, they've answered things and knows mathematics and on and on and on. They don't know where the Ten Commandments came from. Isn't that sad? Because they're wise in their own eyes. And they don't have the knowledge of God's will. I wasn't around back then. I might be old, but I'm not that old. But I read that years and years and years ago when people went to school, one of the things they read was the Bible. That's how they learned to read. Maybe we ought to go back to that. Maybe we ought to go back to the reading of the Bible instead of being so smart. But they're not receptive to the truth. Let's go to this one, Proverbs 28, verse 26. Are we receptive to the truth? He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. I had one person tell me, don't worry about me, Chuck. We were talking about salvation. Don't worry about me, Chuck. I've got friends in both places. Now, you probably do. But there's one place you don't want to go. Kind of a cavalier attitude. You know, don't worry. I've got it handled. No, you don't have it handled if you're not responding favorably to the Word of God. But that's how people go. They go by feelings. I feel I'm saved. No, you can't show me the passage that teaches that if you feel you're saved, you're saved. You're saved if you obey the truth. You're saved if you have the blood of Christ. And you maintain to Christ so you have his blood, maintain obeying the truth so his blood covers you. I'm not trying to be arrogant, but I don't feel I'm saved. I know I am. Because I can tell you by book, chapter, and verse. You say, well, you're arrogant. No, I know I can also fall. You should have been here last Sunday night. We talked about that. You can fall. But as long as you do the truth. But I don't go it and base it on feelings. Well, they must be right, or he must be right. I've heard people say, well, that religious group must be right. Look at how many people go there. Well, okay, let's use that as theology. Then Islam must be right. Because it's the fastest growing religion in America right now, Islam. Now, I'm not trying to make fun of those people. There's a good moral people, but they're not right. Muhammad's not the way. Are there a lot of Hindus? A lot of people who are Hindus? Well, they must be right. No, just because there's a lot of people doing it doesn't make them right. Now, when I come out of the North, are there a lot of Catholics? Yeah. Well, they must be right. No, they got beautiful cathedrals. I tell you what, in Chicago, you walk in those Catholic buildings, you think you're back in the Old Testament temple. But just because you feel that doesn't make it right. You see, you don't trust your feelings. You trust the truth. You trust God's will. That's what's right. But you have to respect God's will and obey it. But let's go on. Let's quickly go talk some warning to the New Testament. Romans chapter 1. Here's the biggest problem I see in America today. And it's not a problem new to America. And by the way, I'm glad I live in America. But we are a self-sufficient, arrogant nation that are going to be brought down to our knees if we don't come to our senses. And that's so sad because I have children and grandchildren that I want to enjoy what I've enjoyed for my 69 years on this earth. Here's the problem. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, talking about the Gentiles in the first century, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to do a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. They want to keep God in their mouth, knowledge. So they let God let them do what they want. Kind of sounds like 2023, doesn't it? We're in a society that we just do what we want. We throw out God's standard, and we make our own standard because we're so enlightened. We're so intelligent. We've got all the answers. And I'm saying this sometimes even amongst religious people. They get so highfalutin in their discussions that nobody knows what they're saying, but boy, it sure sounds good. Wow, I really got the meat of the word today. And what did you get? Well, I don't know, but it was the meat. Okay. If you say so. Right? This is the problem we face. They're not receptive to the Word of God. You don't go to the Word of God and pick out passages you like. You go to the Word of God to teach you how you need to live and to teach me how I need to live. Let's go to another passage of the New Testament. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. See if this doesn't fit. We need people who are receptive to the will of God. Remain receptive meaning obedience to it. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Stop in verse 10. You see the word love of the truth? Remember John 17, 17? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So when we see the love of the truth, they didn't receive the love of the word of God. Now look at the next verse. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That's an interesting passage, isn't it? Who sends the delusion? God does. The God of heaven and earth? Yes, the God of heaven and earth. Well, I thought he's a loving God. He is a loving God. Then why did he send a strong delusion? Well, look at the next verse. That they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had what? Pleasure in unrighteousness. That's the problem we face. God wants all of mankind to be saved. He sent Jesus so that we can be saved. But he's not going to bat you over the head. He gave you his son. He gave us through the Holy Spirit his book. And he's allowed us the freedom of choice to do what we want. But people love to practice unrighteousness. I just read from one of the articles that Larry and Angela sends out about now there's people staying married, but they're not married. Okay, what in the world does that mean? Well, I'm paraphrasing now, and that is they haven't what is known of them years gone by, an open marriage. That they can fool around on one another, but they're still going to stay married. Well, you know what, you may say that, but that's a violation of Hebrews chapter 13. Fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Very simple there, 13:5. So you might do that. You might enjoy this unrighteousness. You might say, well, I'm just more enlightened than that narrow-minded preacher at Lakeland Hills. But that preacher at Lakeland Hills can show you book, chapter, and verse that that's wrong. If God wanted it that way, he would have done so from the beginning of time. But he didn't do it that way, now did he? So again, what people are doing, they don't have a love, they don't have a reverence, they are not receptive to the truth when it corrects them. There's not a person alive that disagrees, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Everybody says, oh, I love that passage. And I do. But that same book tells us that we have to obey him. We don't get to pick and choose. So say people are receptive. And they don't respond when it has correction. One more illustration, then we'll come to the positive and close. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is one of the saddest ones. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4, it states here, as Timothy is being instructed, for the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine. I want to stop here. Well, if they won't endure sound doctrine, that tells me that they had sound doctrine, right? If you're not enduring something, it's something that you had. They don't endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap to themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. Okay, if you're going to turn away from something, that means you had something, right? They had the truth, but now they're going to turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. They're going to be turned to those things that they want to hear. Pick and choose religion, right? That's the problem. They're not receptive to the total truth. Could I just give lessons only focusing on what Jesus has done for us? And that's so important. I know what Jesus has done for us. But what good is that going to do for my life if I need those corrections? What good is that going to do for my life if I'm living in adultery? What good is that going to do for my life if I'm beating on my wife? What good is that going to do for my life if I'm abusing children and not following God's word in that? Oh, but I can go back to John 3:16. God loves everybody. And he does. I don't disagree with that. But the Lord's also going to judge. You see, people, I want to hear that. We want to talk about heaven. We want to talk about Jesus. We want to talk about when we put off our bodies of flesh, we're going to heaven. And the Bible does teach that to those who are faithful. And only you can make that decision. But you can't just pick and choose. You know, when I study God's word, there's times I find things I need to improve. How about you? What do? You quit studying that? Kind of out of sight, out of mind? We hear what we want to hear and disregard the rest? Or does that bother us and keeps on bothering us until we make the correction? Only you can answer that for yourself. Only I can answer that. What I'm trying to say, here we have it. We have the most important book that's ever been given to mankind. It gives us access to the blood of Christ and access to heaven. But we've got to be receptive to all of it, both what he's done for us and what we need to do. So as we come to the close, here's the solution. Again, like I said, it's easy to identify problems. Anyone can do that. The solution's quite simple. It really is. Well, at least it's quite simple in words. I don't know how simple it's going to be in my life or your life. That's up to us. The solution begins with having the right attitude towards the Word of God. In Ezra chapter 7, in verse 10, we have recorded for us here, it's stating this concerning Ezra's attitude. For Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. The first thing I need to do is prepare my heart to truly seek what God wants and not what I've already preconceived what God said. You see, a lot of people go to their Bibles, but they don't seek God what God wants. They seek to prove their point. And you see what happens, that's when you can take a scripture out of its context and make it say something that it doesn't say, right? So every time I study, I have to make sure My heart is to seek the law of the Lord, to keep the teachings of the New Testament for us. I don't go to a religious institution to see what I'm supposed to believe. No, we don't do that. I don't go to other groups of preachers. What should I believe on that? I go to God's Word. What does He say on that? When I was taught that my infant sprinkling was not baptism, was not biblical baptism, initially I ignored that. That's just their way of teaching. But then as I was challenged more, and as I took the scriptures, I found out, no, that's not just their way of teaching. That's what the Bible teaches. Baptism is an immersion in water by one who repents of their sin. Simple as that. And I don't know of any six-week-old that can do that, nor should they do that, because a small child is in a safe condition. They're not in a lost condition. They're not in a saved condition. They're in a safe condition, small child. The new child that just came into this world from Tabitha and Clay, that child's in a safe condition. Their small daughter is in a safe condition. Now, there's going to be a time frame when they get old enough that that safe condition is going to become a lost condition. But that's why we don't sprinkle, because sprinkling's not baptism. But that's why we don't go to infants and do anything, because they're safe. That was one of the things that helped my wife and I as we lost our first child at 6 weeks old. Now, it's interesting. I'll preface that, say this. I was still registered Lutheran. So they told me when we went to the last time Jason was alive, they said, you don't have to worry, Mr. Cousins. We baptized him, because it was Lutheran Hospital. And since I didn't know any better, I was, wow, that's good. Now come to find out that meant nothing. That child was in a safe condition. And just like when David lost his child, he has got to go to him. He was in a safe condition. But when I study baptism, I see it has to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. There it is, book, chapter, and verse. You see, again, I got to go with the heart that is, what does God want? Some people say, well, Chuck, I'm religious and I've been baptized. I've been immersed in water. Well, you might have been immersed in water, but it may not have been for the right reason. For instance, if you are under the instant thinking that you were saved and then you were immersed, that's not what was done on the day of Pentecost. Their salvation came at the point of immersion, not before. Their newness of life, Romans 6, 3 and 4, came at the point of immersion. Their putting on Christ, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, came at the point of immersion. So you might have been immersed, and they might have even quoted Matthew 28, 18 through 20 when you were immersed. But if you were taught that you were saved when you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm not trying to be rude. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what the Bible teaches. And the kindest way I know how, your soul's in jeopardy. Your soul's in jeopardy. Because you are baptized to come into contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. We have those that, well, I believe all you're saved by faith only. And they gave me 6, 7, 8, 10, 12 passages on faith, faith, faith. But the only time it uses faith only is in a negative connotation. And that's in James chapter 2. You see, I've got to go to God's Word with an open heart. Oh, and by the way, those of us who are members of the church, we don't go to God's Word what the Church of Christ thinks. We go to God's Word what God's doctrine teaches. 2 John and verse 9. Like I said, we don't go to some college, what do they say? We go to God's Word, 2 John 9, to make sure we are in the doctrine of Christ. My focus and my attitude and my allegiance is to Christ and His teachings. Have that receptive heart. But then after having the receptive heart, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, are we receptive to the word of God? In verse 13. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectually works in you who believe. Now, if God's word is not working in me, what that's saying is I really don't believe. Because if I believe this is the word of God, what am I going to do? I'm going to do it, right? Am I a dunderhead? Do I have something wrong here? If that is the word of God, that means it comes from God by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to do it. And if I don't do it, that shows me that I don't believe it's the word of God. Which one of us would deny God? Are you that dumb? Am I that dumb? If this indeed is the word of God, then do it. If it's not the word of God, then don't worry about it. Now, I believe it's the word of God. And that's why I do it and make those changes. What will we do with the word of God? That's totally up to you. But I'll tell you what. Most important book you have, if you apply it. So we close with this passage. Are we receptive to the truth? Let's close with James chapter 1. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. Very familiar passage. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. You see that in verse 21? A couple of things here. We got to get rid of certain things to implant something. Now, I come out of a religious background which didn't have the truth. Many of my loved ones died in that background. What I do does not affect them. We need to understand that. Does not affect them. I have to do what's right when I learn what is right. I have to lay aside my prejudices. I have to lay aside my prejudgments. I have to lay aside as I look at my religious heritage and say, I'm sure even though they didn't know what it was right, they would want me to do what's right. Wouldn't you want that of your child? If you had gone astray and you died, and your child stumbled across the truth or came to the truth, wouldn't you want them to do the truth? I think we get mixed up that, well, I can't leave my family religion. You need to serve Christ and leave the rest unto God. You're not God. I'm not God. If you know what is right based upon book, chapter, and verse, you do it. My wife came out of the Baptist religion. Now, let me tell you something. There's a lot of good Baptist people. A lot of good Baptist people. But they don't teach the right plan of salvation. They teach you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, and then down the road you're baptized. Might be 1 week, might be 2 weeks, might be 3 weeks, whatever the case is. That's not what the New Testament teaches. Now, there's a lot of good people who are that. There's a lot of good Lutherans. There's a lot of good Methodists. I'm not questioning people's goodness. I'm saying, do we put the truth, God's word, above everything? Well, we receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, which is able? Because verse 22 says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. What? Deceiving your own selves. You could hear, but if you're not doing it, you didn't deceive God. You've deceived yourself. When I was in a denomination, I thought as long as I made Christmas and Easter and a few other places, God would be happy with me. Man, I walked out of service just as proud as a peacock. By God's pleased, I did nothing with the word of God. You think there's a lot of people like that today? Yeah. I'm not saying they're bad people. I don't think I was a bad person. I just wasn't receptive in obedience to the truth because I didn't have the full truth. I'm not trying to make fun of anybody's relatives. I'm not trying to make fun of anybody's religious beliefs. But your religious beliefs need to be in harmony with the truth. And well, those of you who are not familiar with the Lord's church, the Church of Christ, I am not saying, listen to me, I am not saying everybody who goes to a Church of Christ is saved, because there's lost people there also. Because they're not living right. Don't deceive yourselves, be doers. At verse 23, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like this man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? Your blemishes. But when you leave the mirror, you don't see that, right? So when do you have to take care of them? When you're looking in the mirror, right? Because then you forget about them. But now in verse 25. But he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continue in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. You want the blood of Christ? You want to go to heaven? You want God pleased with you? Then learn and apply what this book teaches. Do you earn it? No. You're there because you have the blood of Christ. And by having the blood of Christ, you want to do what God teaches. I am so disappointed. Maybe I'm getting old and cranky. I am so disappointed when people make Christianity so shallow. Because it's not shallow. It's the giving of your all based upon the Word of God. Not based upon what some preacher said, based upon the Word of God. If you're here this morning and you know and you understand you need the blood of Christ, and that comes by being baptized for the remission of your sins, we'd be happy to take your confession that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and myself or one of the elders or one of the other men will baptize you for the remission of your sins, if that's what you understand.